Today is Monday night, March 6th, or Tet Adar. This is the Gemara Shir. We're up to the second parak of Moed Katan, Dav Yud Bet Amud Bet. Okay, Rabotai. We're on the top of Dav Yud Beis Amud Beis, second line. Says the Gemara. Rav Huna chatztu le chatzta b'moada. What Rav Huna did was he cut his grain on Chalosh HaMoed. Cut his grain. And Rashi says lemechtzad liktzor v'Rav Huna yesh lo mal yochal. It's not that he had nothing to eat, and the Gemara will therefore question why did he cut his grain on Chalosh HaMoed. But that's what he did. Esve Rabba Barafuna Lurafuna. So Rabba, one of Rafuna's children, asked Rafuna the following question. Tochanin bekemach b'moed l'tzorech HaMoed. Number one, the halacha is you are permitted to grind grain on Chalosh HaMoed, which you will need for Chalosh HaMoed and for Yomtov. But that which you're going to use after Yomtov, you are not permitted to grind on Yomtov, on Chalosh HaMoed. And harvesting a whole field is certainly well above and beyond the amount of grain you're going to need for a couple of days of Yontif. So why'd you do it, Pop? Furthermore, he cites the second part of the Braisa, Davar she'avud b'moed, mutu la'asoso b'moed. A financial loss that will develop on Chalosh HaMoed, you are allowed to engage in an activity to preclude, to prevent that financial loss. Davar she'eino avud b'moed, asur. But something which is not going to generate a financial loss on Yom Tov, on Chalosh HaMoed, you're not allowed to do it under any circumstances. So it's hard to imagine that if you're not going to cut your grain today, it's going to be totally a disaster. It's not a davar avud. So Pop, once again, why did you cut your grain? Bamed dvarim amurin, when do I allow an activity which is a davar ha'avod on Chalosh HaMoed, betulushin min hakarka, something that is tolush, had already been separated from the ground. Avol mechuba lekarka, but if something is attached to the ground, afilu kulo avud asur, even if the entire item will be financially lost, we still prohibit it. Therefore, a third question, which Rabba asked his pop. Hey pop, I just don't understand why you went ahead and cut the grain. It doesn't fit into any classic heter. Number one, it's well above and beyond how much you needed. Number two, it's not a davar ha'avud. And number three, even if it was a davar ha'avud, you can't engage in any activity if it's mechuba lekarka. Those are the three questions that he asked. V'im, however, he adds, im ein lo mayochal, if the person has absolutely nothing to eat, kotzer ume'amer v'dosh v'zore u'borer v'tochein, you're allowed to harvest, bundle, thresh, winnow, separate, grind, u'bilvat shelo yadush b'paros, as long as he doesn't do the threshing by using the cows or the animals, but you do it by hand. So the assumption is, if you're going to do it by hand, how much you're going to do? Whatever you need. So we will make accommodations if you're starving. But Pop, the last I saw, you're not starving. You know, you had steak last night for dinner. You're not starving. So what in the world was running through your mind when there are four clear-cut prohibitions against what you did? Those are the type of questions that a parent likes to hear from a child. Pop, what are you talking about? Ya Allah, explain it to me. Omar Lay. So Rav Huna answered to his son, Yechidahi velo sviralon kavasa. The author of this brisa that you listed, that heaps question after question against me, is authored by a yachid. And we don't accept that yachid. The sanya we learned in a brisa. Klal omer Rab Shimon b'Gamliel mishum Rab Yosi. Dovar hatolush min hakarka afilu miktsosoy avud mutter. Anything that has already been separated, even though it's not going to financially it's not going to generate total financial loss if you don't do something, if it's going to only partial financial loss, we allow it. However, v'hamechuba l'karka afilu kulo avud asur. Okay, so the author of this particular brisa is Rab Shimon ben Gamliel, who heard it from Rab Yosi, but we don't paskin like him. So if we don't paskin like him, I have a right to what? To engage in this particular activity. That's what the Gemara says. So now, gentlemen, I'm waiting for you to ask the question that will spur the discussions for the rest of the night. Okay. He told him it's a brisa. The author of the brisa is a yachid, Rav Shimon ben Gamliel. That's one question. Which, that's a good question. Everybody else against this brisa. Okay, so there must be a brisa which said other people, and he said the brisa which you just quoted is a yachid. But ask a little sharper. Ask two questions that I can expect you to ask.
Isn't this Stam Mishnah like Rabbi Yossi?
That's Rabbi Meir. And that's only Stam Mishnah. This is not a Brisa. This is a Brisa. Stam Brisa is Rabbi Nechemi.
What is the halacha
then? Okay, no, ask it a little sharper. Just because you disagree with this Brisa, does that mean all hell breaks loose and you're allowed to do anything on Chol HaShemoah? What aspect is Rav Huna defending himself that we don't paskin like this? What exactly is it?
Which part of these three?
Which part of the three? Oh, so the brisa only, what aspect did the brisa deal with? What aspect did the talush versus mechubar? Okay, that's fine. But what about all the other things? Assume that you're allowed to engage in melacha and chol hamoed, even if it is mechubar, because we paskin against Rav Shimon ben Gamliel. But what's the first criteria that you need? What's the first criteria that you need? No, that's the second criteria. What's the first criteria? You need what? Litzorach hamoed. It's got to be litzorach hamoed. And this is not litzorach hamoed, because Pop, I know you got plenty of food around.
Don't we assume that we know he argues on that?
Who would argue? Where does it say on that brisa that you're allowed to do a malacha on chol HaShemoed as long as, even though there's no tzorach hamoed whatsoever?
But he argues with that. Obviously, he argues on that.
No, we don't know that. The brisa doesn't say that. What does the brisa give us information that he says disagrees with what I just said? Only the distinction between talush and mechuba. So don't ask me why I harvested my field. What about all the other objections that Rabbah made? You're only allowed to do anything on Chol HaShemoed if Litzarech HaMoed. That's number one. Number two, you're only allowed to do it if it's a Dabar Avod. Who said this is a Dabar Avod?
Well, Rav Huna said the price that he quoted is a Dabar Yachid, right?
Well, he quoted
the whole price we quoted. Right? What is the answer? Is that the brisa you just quoted?
Okay, so I'm asking, do you think there's a brisa that has done away with the last 12 block of Moed Katan and said there are no restrictions to Avodah and Chol HaShemoed?
The assumption is that, not Sarah Chamoed, the assumption is that Dabra Avodah.
Okay, I'll go along with that. But the question is, this the Dabra Avodah? How can you, and the Yerushalmi will formulate it, we'll see it inside in a minute, even more crisply. When did the harvest season arrive? Did the harvest season arrive before Yontif? And Rav Huna said, I'll do it on Chol HaShemoed. So what's that called? That's Kivein Melachto L'Chol HaShemoed. We learned before that everybody says that's awesome. Good. So maybe it became what? The harvest season arrived when? On Chol HaShemoed. And we'll see in Sayushan. 3 days or 4 days is not going to lead to a davar avod. No farmer goes ahead and harvests his field the exact day when the season arrives. That doesn't happen. So whatever happened to the classic Issa Malacha on Chol HaShemoed? He has enough food. It's not a davar avod, so I grant you. If it was a davar avod, the brisa says you're allowed to do it by mechuba. It doesn't have to be talush. What about all the other conditions?
So you're assuming that Rav Huna's argument all. I mean, that's ridiculous.
That's my question. That everybody's going to ask. We're going to have to come up and set up the situation to explain what was running through Rav Huna's mind. Aside from the fact that he disagreed that you were allowed to do it by mechuba, we're going to have to see. But otherwise, you're going home and you're not going to know the answer to this. Otherwise, if you think it's all so simple, go right ahead.
The Gemara ends right here.
What? The Gemara ends right here. The Gemara goes off on a detail about using parot, but the sugya ends here. Trust me, I prepared this. Okay, so there's obviously something to say. I'm just setting the stage. So, take out your packet. This is the Nemuka Yosef, who raises another question. Another question. Perhaps even the most powerful question yet. We started this Masechta with a Mishnah. Anybody remember the first Mishnah in Maseches Moed Katan? Anybody? You can cheat. You can look it up.
Watering all the fields.
Oh, watering the fields. It's all mechuba l'karka. Asks the Ritva, why in the world did Rav Huna have to defend himself based on the fact that you, my son Rabba, are asking a question which happens to be accepted only by a Stam Mishnah? Why didn't Rav Huna just say, a Brisa that is a Das Yachid? Why didn't Rav Huna just tell his kid, hey kid, you've got the first Mishnah in the Masechta? First Mishnah said, Mashkin Beis HaShalach. Any field that requires watering, because it's not going to be sufficient with rainwater, you're allowed to water on Chol HaShemoed. Well, that's Mechuba L'Karka. So obviously the Stam Mishnah supports me. So in the very first line on the top, the Mukhi Yosef actually assumes that this was running through Rav Huna's mind, even though he didn't say it. Let's read the top line. Ki yechida. V'les hilchasa. And the halacha is not like that, what? That brisa. Elo, what is the halacha like? Kimas nisin. The Stam Mishnah. Dereish pirkin. Disnan. Mashkin beis hashalachim. B'moeh. So don't give me any heartache that you're not allowed to do any malacha if there is going to be a davar ha'avad. If it's mechuba l'karka, because you're allowed to water the field. Watering the field is not, it's not been harvested yet. It's still mechuba l'karka, so you're allowed to do so. And in fact, other Rishon even question it. Why do you have to say yichidahi? Just say, the Stam Mishnah is like, supports me. End of discussion. I don't care who that price is. even if the braisa was not yechida, most often, not always, but most often, when there is a debate between a braisa and a mishnah, we pass like the mishnah. So why didn't he do that? So that's point number one. Now go to page number two, which is the Keren Ira. Keren Ira is an Achron who wrote on quite a number of Masechtas. He was a Polish scholar in the 18th century. But he's a prolific writer. And let me just see what I want to show. I forgot to bracket it. I just want to see. Okay, so let's read from the top. Ayin Barashi Barifu Benimuki Yosef Shom, which we just did. We just looked at the Nimuki Yosef Shekosu. The High Tana Polig Amasnisin the Reish Pirka Kama Mashkin Beis Hashalach. That this Brisa argues with the first Mishnah in the Masechta, and that's not unusual. You often have Brises that argue. However, says the Keren Ira, Uladidi Kashali Alzeh. I find that hard to believe. The Imkain, my Paruch Rabba Barafuna la Rafuna mi Brisa. Why is Rabba Barafuna asking a question from a Brisa? Kevun de Stoma de Masnis in the Lokavasa. Rabba, the son, should have known that Pop has support from a Mishnah. So what's he asking his father a question from a Brisa when Pop could have turned around and says, what are you, kitty? You forgot the first mission in the Masechta. And he didn't say that. V'gam loma leila rafunu lemeima yechidahi velo svirulon kavase. Why does he have to say it's authored by only Rab Shimon Gamliel, we don't paskin? Afilu lav yechidahi. Even if it was authored by 30 other people. Halacha kistam Mishnah. The halacha always is that if there is no name in the Mishnah, it's called a stam Mishnah, and we always paskin like the stam Mishnah. Va'od, the lamai de salkedaitan de brisa asya kavase de Rabbi Yehuda de boy shinui bedavar Ovid. Now that we happen to paskin like the brisa which says that even by davar ha'avad, You require shinui. Rabbi Yossi said you don't, and Rabbi Yehuda said you do. So the Keren Ira is operating on the assumption that we will pass him like Rabbi Yehuda, who says you do need shinui. If that's the case, al korchen sarach loma lil Rabba Barafuna, the Rabbi Yehuda svirulei b'mechubar aser, that you Rabbi Yehuda must have held that by mechubar it's aser. Why? Because if Rabbi Yehuda held you need shinui even where? By tolush, then he probably prohibited any type of activity even by mechubar. It's not a compelling argument. But the Gemara, from time to time, operates within steps, gradations. That you take a position by tolush, for which you will allow something, but you're going to allow it only with what? Only with a shinui. Whereas, by mechubar, I'm not even going to allow you to do it with a shinui. So if we paskin like Rabbi Yehuda, what's Rabbi Barahuna's question? He had a better question to ask. Hey, Pop, even if you're allowed to what? Do melacha and davar of it, because you got the first mishnah to support you. We passed it like Rabbi Yehuda. You need a shinui. I didn't see you harvest the grain with any shinui. You took your regular sickle and you harvest the grain. Why didn't he ask that question? So, So there's the law. I'll get to the long and short of it in a minute. Let me just tell you what he says. So the Keren Orech suggests that the Braisa of Rab Shimon ben Gamliel knows about the Mishnah and doesn't argue with it, and claims there is a critical difference between the Mishnah, which is permitted according to all, and cutting the grain, which I, Rab Shimon Gamliel, in the name of Rabbi Yossi, say it's usher. What might be the difference? The difference is, now he doesn't say in terms of the... he almost says that, but not quite. He says as follows, that when you're dealing with Hashka'ah, every single person faces the exact same situation. Every person who has a field that is not positioned in a place whereby rainwater will be sufficient, every single person faces the same potential. What potential? That even if, first of all, during a good part of the season in Israel, it doesn't rain. And even if it does, it's going to run off because it might be on a mountain. So you always have to irrigate and water the field. Since it's a universal concern under those circumstances, every Tom, Dick, and Harry says it's 100% mutter because it's a davar avad. However, ktsira, as we just said, when the planting season, when the harvest season arrives, you might have one or two farmers who, for some reason, their grain is going to start to spoil it a little earlier. Most of them are not going to start to spoil right away. So since, listen to what he's going to say, since the majority of people do not experience financial loss by delaying the harvest by a couple of days, the Hachamim decided to tighten the belt and prohibit it even for somebody for whom there would be davar havad. That's the chiddush of this price. That's the chiddush of this price. So you want to know why they didn't quote the Mishnah? Because nobody argues with the Mishnah. Because the Mishnah is a different case. The case of the Mishnah is not parallel. The Brice is talking about harvesting grain. The Mishnah is talking about watering the field. Watering the field, if not done, is a guaranteed financial loss. Not harvesting on Chol HaMoed, waiting till after Yontiv, it can happen. Es treft zu chamul, as I mizukt in Yiddish, es treft zu chamul. But most of the time it doesn't happen. Since it's not something that happens on a regular basis, Chachamim decided to prohibit it. To prohibit it. That's what he says. So, that's what he says.
Supplies not like the grain, the fruits, correct?
What is that?
This should apply to the fruits, not just the grain.
That is correct. It does. And again, the same thing is. You don't pluck the apple for 3 days. It's not going bad yet. So, look at the second paragraph, and that's where he's going to say it exactly the way I said it. Second paragraph, end of the fourth line. Al-Kain Nirali. The Rabbi Yossi lo asar ela ktsiro levad ukedoyma lazer. Mishum de malacha gedoyla umufursemes. Vigam atano saying Torah kol echad biyado. Loze avud uloze eino avud. He says two things, one which Moshe said, namely, that harvesting is a much bigger production than what? Than watering. I'm just telling you what he says. Whether it's accurate or not, I don't know. But it is. You know why? Because it needs the person to stand there with his sickle and everybody sees it.
You look at the field, one day there's a bunch of wheat there, the next day it's gone.
What?
One day there's a whole...
Correct.
Gone.
With the water, how did they usually water? They didn't carry a bucket with them. What did they do? They had the little ditches, the little canal, the irrigation ditches. So you just opened up your spigot, or you stood at the corner, wherever the thing was, you poured the water in and it started flowing. That's not such a conspicuous activity. So that they allowed, plus it was shove lakol. Everybody had that. And if something is not shove lakol, then they're not going to be matter it, and they choose to prohibit it, even where it might apply. This idea of being shove lakol is a principle which this Gemara borrows from a Gemara in Maseches Beitza. Tosfos Beitza Chav. I'm sorry, I should have focused that before. I forgot to do it. Chav Beis Amid Beis. The Gemara there talks about, it's in the midst of the sugya of mitoich, that you're allowed to boil up water on Yom Tov to wash your hands, your face, and your feet. Says Tosfos, but you're not allowed to boil up water to take a shower or a full body bath. Why not, says Tosfos? Because it's not a davar hashove lakol. Not everybody in medieval Jewish history in Europe felt it was so compelling to take a shower every single day. In fact, nobody took a shower every single day. You went to the bathhouse typically once a week. And there are still parts of the world today, good parts of the world, maybe even the majority, where people don't bathe every single day. Therefore, Tosfos rules that a full body bath is usher, and the Chabad quotes Tosfos, nobody argues with him. I've told you several times in shul that the Rav feels not only are you allowed to take a shower, it's a mitzvah to take a shower today on Yontif. Why? Because in North America, it is a davar hashove lakol. Everybody would consider that taking a bath during Yom Tov, or a shower on Yom Tov is a personal pleasure that you would enjoy. Therefore, you're allowed to boil up hot water to take a shower on Yom Tov. And it also affects the halacha of an Avel. An Avel, we say today, is allowed to bathe during the Shiva because everybody bathes. So if you don't, you're an Istinus. You don't feel like a human being if you don't take a shower for 7 days. So Tosfos borrows this to Gemara here. Tosfos actually borrowed it from here, that if it's not shove lakol, it happens to be aser. In fact, Rav Ovadia Yosef wrote a tshuva, and I wish it would have gained a little more popularity. He writes that he believes that smoking on Yontiv, Bizman Hazeh, is Asr Midoraisa. Asr on Midoraisa. Why? Because today, smoking is not considered Ahana Hashava Lako. Most people have fortunately recognized the dangers of smoking. Many have given it up. It's particularly a serious problem in the yeshivish world where they still smoke. But if you take the majority survey of Am Yisrael, it certainly is not going to be a hana'a hashave lakol. And therefore he writes, not only is it for health reasons, it might be asur midoraisa to light up a cigarette based on the halacha that it's not a davar hashave lakol.
Rav Huna rejects that.
What?
Rav Huna rejects that. Rav Huna rejected that.
That's right.
He doesn't paskin the shovel
lakol. No, but Tosfos paskins that way.
Where does Tosfos get that from?
There might be another subject. That's Tosfos paskins that way. This is just the Karen Ira who's trying to jive the Mishnah and the Brisa. That's his theory. But I'm just telling you, Avadi Yosef has such a tshuva, and it's always like that. Whenever Ramesh says the same thing, Ramesh says you're not allowed to smoke today. Unfortunately, yeshiva guys don't listen to it. It's unfortunate. Now, question number two, which we raised, turn now to page number 3. No, it's actually page number 4 for a minute. No, 3. Page number 3 is listed twice. So it's page number 3, Yerushalmi. 3b, whatever you want to call it. Now, he asks the question which we raised before. Take a look at where it says, Gemara, Amar Rabbi Zeira. End of the line. End of the second line. Ma anan kaimen. What exactly are we talking about? Im bishihigi azmano livtsar velo batsar. If the time for it, here he's talking about the wine, to harvest the grapes, came before Yontiv, and he didn't do so, as hu chata al nafshe. So if it's going to spoil, whose fault is it going to spoil? It's your own fault. Why didn't you cut them? Why didn't you harvest the grapes, or the oil, or the grain before Yontiv? Im bishelo higia zmano livtsor. If what? If the time had not yet arrived, and when suddenly did the zman arrive? On Chol HaMoed, ain't nothing going to happen if you wait 2-3 days. Im b'shelo hagiya zman l'tzar, yochel hevekoyim, kignan kayamin, b'shigiya zman l'tzar. So that's the, he could have waited. What do you have to do anything today for? Can wait 3 days, promise you nothing's going to happen. So, what does he answer happened? What did he answer happened? Kayam, kinat kayamin, bishigiyas man liftsar, heaven. Savar du yachal kayam, velokam. The zman betzira had come. But he thought, a week till after Yontiv, what's the problem? It came right before Yontiv. But he said, I can wait till after Yontiv. Erev Yontiv, I got other things to do than start harvesting my grapes or anything. On Chol HaMoed, what did he do? He took a look and he noticed that what happened? Oh, it's starting to go bad. That's the case that Rav Huna was talking about. That's the case. So if he saw that the Zman came, and he knew that if he doesn't do it on Chol HaMoed, it's going to get ruined, we're not going to let him do it, because he should have done it on Erev Yontiv. If it first comes on Chol HaMoed, and what happens, and it could stay, nothing's going to happen, we're not going to let him do it. But the Zman had arrived, and he anticipated, though, that he's got plenty of time. Suddenly what happens, it starts going sour, therefore Rav Huna said, I'm allowed to cut my grain. That's how the Yerushalmi claims that this case is talking about.
It was a Davar Avod.
Only he never anticipated that it's a Davar Avod. Yes, but now it's a Davar Avod. That's correct. That is correct.
And was that true for Rabbi Yehuda and not Rabbi Yehuda? No comment?
No comment about that. No comment about that yet. You can't say it, but the story, the way it's told, was that, and that's why Rashi made that point. Rashi said, I'm telling you in advance, Rav Huna had plenty to eat.
He's already telling you that it wasn't a case of free black food, according to Rashi.
That's correct.
So that everyone agrees.
That excuse is out. Correct.
It's kind of like sometimes you...
Okay, the Gemara just... All the what we're doing is trying to understand what in the world is going on. The Gemara furnishes very little detail about the story. And if it tells us about the story, it's got to be significant.
Does anyone explain this case as not being a Davar Avod?
Nope. Haven't found any.
Does anyone bring in how much tirfa is involved with tzira?
Some might. Some do.
That could be a difference.
That is also true. That might be the issue that... But again, the Gemara could have said that. I haven't found it. It might be true that ktsira is a lot of manpower effort, especially if you prohibit you using the animals. It's got to be done by hand. That would have been the easiest thing. But then he would be abandoning the principle of tircha. Mara doesn't want to use that. That's next point. Now comes the second part of the braisa. where the Braisa started saying what you're allowed to do in terms of tochein. No, excuse me, 1 second. Right. No, even before that. Before that part, which says, Davar sha'avud b'moed, mutu la'asosa b'moed. Davar sha'eino avud b'moed, asu. Before the Ba'amar Dvar Ma'amur. Now take a look at page number 4, the Ritva. Don't look at the Ritva yet. Tell me if the Braisa had just written the following phrase. Davar ha'avud b'moed mutter. And I, the teacher, would ask you, what happens, my students, if it's not a davar ha'avud? Are you allowed to do it on Chol Shemoed or not? What would you say?
No,
of course not. So who needs the second phrase of the Braisa? Why does the Braisa have to say, if it's a davar ha'avud, you're allowed to do it? If it's not a davar ha'avud, you're not allowed to do it. Pshita, everybody knows that. That's the Ritva's question. Shelo litzorech ha'moed aser. Kashalon. Lomu lei lemisne. Why does the Braisa have to state? Shelo litzorech ha'moed aser. Meiresha. You already can figure it out from the very first phrase, which says, if there is financial loss, you're allowed to do it. So you can use your own bird brain and say, what? Here, if there's no financial loss, you can't do it. And number 2, usvara namihu. Even when it's a svara. If there is no financial loss, why would anybody allow you to do it? We've learned 12 block that the whole hector of doing malach on Chol Shemoed is davar avod. The ode, litzorech hamoed mutter lomoli. Why do I need the statement in the Braisa which says, what is that? Kemach, right? Tochnin kemach b'moed litzorech hamoed shelo litzorech hamoed asim. Asks the Ritva. For oh, litzorech hamoed mutter lomali gedoyla mizu ketani seifa. We already have something in the Braisa that goes well above and beyond, which says that what? That you're allowed to cut the grain. What does the Braisa say that if you don't have anything to eat, what are you allowed to do? 6 different malachas. You're allowed to be kotze, you're allowed to be ba'ameh, you're allowed to be dash, you're allowed to be zoreh. So what do I have to need to state? Well, it's tzorech hamoed. You're allowed to go ahead and what? And cut the grain. It says that at the end of there already. In a much more expansive form. Ma gedoyla mizu kitani seifa. She'im ein lo ma yochal. Kotzer uma'amer, etc., etc., etc. V'yesh loimar answers the Ritva. De betchina sharinan kol tzorech hamoed afilu beharvacha gemura velo betzimtzum mamish. When you're already grinding, so you are not allowed to grind 20 tons. Okay? But you don't have to sit there with a measuring cup and say, you know what? Let's see. This challah, I need 4 cups of flour. This cake, I need 3 cups of challah. Those cookies, I need 2 cups of flour. You don't have to do that. You're allowed to grind a quantity which is reasonable to last you for Chol Shemoed and Yom Tov. However, if we're going to allow you to do what? 6 different malachos, because ein lo mayochal, there you're going to have to be much more stingy. What will we allow you to cut? Exactly how much you need. What will we allow you to thresh and winnow? Exactly how much you need. So therefore, the Braisa has to stipulate both cases. There's one stipulation that tochein is okay, and you can be tochein X amount, which is within reason for what? For cooking, for baking and cooking on Chol HaShemoed and Yom Tov. Whereas the other activities, we do not necessarily allow you that liberty. You really have to limit it to the amount of food that you exactly need.
Is there a difference
between Tzoreh HaMoed and Bar Yochal? That's a good question. We don't know. Is Tzoreh HaMoed meaning a desperate thing? Or it means I have enough today, but I don't have enough for tomorrow. I don't even have enough for Yantif.
Tzoreh HaMoed means I'll use it for Yantif, but if I don't have it, I have other food tea. My cupboards are empty.
That's correct. So it's possible. It is possible. Does anybody know another situation where we allow an activity and we don't exactly expect you to be mitzamtzein? Cooking on Yantif. It's one of the fundamental differences between Shabbos and Yantif. There are times when you are allowed to cook on Shabbos. Let's say a chaylish yesh by sakana. However, the isur of ribui bishiurim is a serious isur. Question whether it's a doraisa or the rabbanan. To add above and beyond that which the doctor has ordered. So if the doctor said, this person needs a piece of chicken, a quarter of a chicken. So you take a quarter of a chicken out, then what? And you cook it. Right? Or like all our mothers used to do. Boiled chicken. Did you ever eat anything else besides boiled chicken on Erev Yom Kippur? That's what my mother used to make all the time. And I felt like I was fasting for 2 days. Boiled chicken. So she used to say, oh, it's easy to fast when you have boiled chicken. Okay. So, and there is a case, which the famous case of Gemara Menachos, where it gives you the choice. Here is what the doctor said. I need two grapes for this patient. Now there's one stem of grapes that has three grapes on it, and two other stems of grapes that have one single grape on it. What should you do? Should you be marbe biktsira, cut twice, but you'll get the exact required specified amount of the doctor? Or should you cut fewer, only one act of cutting, but you're going to violate the isur of ribui bishiurim? You'll have three grapes. So the Gemara takes it pretty seriously. On Yontiv, the Gemara says in Beitza and Daf Yud Zayin, Ma'arim Adam al Kidei Rasai. You can go to a harama and say what? You know what? I'm particularly hungry today. I'm throwing in four steaks, even though you only plan on eating one of them. Because the isur of ribui bishiurim doesn't take place on Yontif when it comes to achila. So by Chol HaMoed, It operates in a somewhat similar fashion. That when you go ahead and allow tochein, we allow you to make a little more, and you don't have to sit there betzimtzum. Whereas by all the other malachos, under those circumstances, we do not allow you, and there is a svara that might work, may not work, but it might work. What might be the difference in your mind, Rabotai, between tochein on the one hand versus kotzer, dosh, me'amer, zore? What might be the difference between the two? What might be the difference? But the others, for sure, are rarely done in small quantities. When people thresh, when people go ahead and thresh and winnow, and even harvest, usually it's large quantities. Grinding It's not always with large quantities. For example, spices. You don't necessarily grind spices for what? For 50 days, going to lose the sharpness. You'll grind it like in the restaurant. The guy comes around with that little can, fooling you that he's grinding pepper right there on the spot. So, just to increase the tip. That's the only reason. So, under those circumstances, by definition, tochein may not be a melacha which the Ramban in Chumash calls the definition of melechas avoida. The Ramban, in a famous entry in Chumash, says, why is it that by Yom Tov, the phrase is never kol melacha lo sase, but kol meleches avoida lo sase, and yet, certain activities we allow, whatever they are, what we call meleches oichel nefesh. And the Ramban says, that's exactly the difference. Any melacha which is done for an extended period of time, that's called melechas avoida. And even if you might need it for Yom Tov, we're not going to allow it. What is ochel nefesh? The types of melacha which are done for short spans of time. Those were permitted by the Torah. So perhaps this is what the Ritva has in mind here as well in distinguishing between the two situations. Then please take a look at page number 5, which is a Me'iri on our Gemara. And whenever a Rishon tells you, I want you to remember something, it's worth learning. Worth learning. Does anybody remember when we learned, did we ever do Kiddushin in the shul? No. But I must have spoken about Mishpatei HaTanayim sometime. So there is a Rambam in Hilchos Ishus that tells us, I'm going to give you all of the rules about how to make a Tanai. It's called Mishpatei HaTanayim. There are 4 rules in order to formulate a condition to a sale, a get, a Kiddushin. And if you don't formulate it properly, the deal goes through and you make believe the condition didn't exist. So the Rambam introduces by saying, Sim kol hadvarim ha'elu alipcha tamid. I want you never to forget this. So you think he's going to talk about like a Seres Hadibros or something. It's Mishpatei HaTanayim. All of a sudden the Rambam says, I don't want you ever to forget this. The Me'iri does the same thing here in our paragraph. It's bracketed. Klal. Hadvarim. Here's the general rule, which if you notice, you can walk out, you never have to come back, you know what's going on in Chol HaShemoed. 1. Kol sheyeshbo oved, afal pi she'eino tzorech hamoed mutter. If there's going to be financial loss, even though you don't need that particular item for Chol HaShemoed, it is permissible. Im lo kivein melachto b'moed. If you could have had done it on Erev Yom Tov, and what did you say? Hey, I'm not. I got plenty of time to do it on Chol HaShemoed. Ve'im kivein melachto asur. If you set it aside for Chol HaMoed, I don't care if it's going to cost you $1,000, $1,000,000. You're not allowed to do it. Ein bo aved. If there is no davar ha'aved, asur elo im kein hutzarech ha'moed. Unless there is a need for Yom Tov. Shekol shehu tzarech hamoed, afilu bitoreach, even if there had been tircha, afilu haya efshir lo mi ba'erev, even though you could have done it on Erev Yom Tov, v'kivein melachto, mutter ba'ochel nefesh, u b'machshirei ochel nefesh. I allow this for all ochel nefesh and machshirei ochel nefesh. So, what might be considered ochel nefesh? Whatever, let's take this the minimum shear. Kneading the dough, baking. I could have baked yesterday. Could have kneaded the dough yesterday. You don't have to. You're allowed to do it on Chol HaShemoed, even allowed to do it on Yom Tov. Same thing is true for machshirei ochel nefesh. What is considered machshirei ochel nefesh? Sharpening the knife. You only have a knife that's that's dead, that's dull. So that little truck that used to come around in our communities, ring the bell, and we'd come coming out and give him our knives to sharpen. So you can give it to him on Chol HaShamoed, no problem. Kigon gidelas hatanurim, fixing the ovens, uktitzas eitzim, and cutting wood, letzarech hamoed kayotze ben. Va'afilu meleches uman, even if it requires a skilled artisan to do this. I can't chop down a tree myself. I got to get a whole taka of mekayshish eitzim. So he knows how to do it. If it's letzarech hamoed, you can even get a professional to do it. Avo masha eino tzorech achila, but if it's not ochel nefesh, afal pishu hu tzorech hamoed, hoel ve'ein bo oved, kivein melachto asur, af po melaches hedyot. If it's not something to eat, and you set it aside to do it on Chol HaShamoed, even an ordinary person, not an artisan, a skilled artisan, it's asur. Lo kivein melachto, asur b'melachas uman, umutu b'melachas hedyot. If you didn't set it aside and you need it, but it's not tzorech achila, it's something else. My pants were ripped, and I have to sew my pants. So you're allowed to sew it up, not with an uman, as long as you didn't set it aside for Chol HaShamoed. V'hazoher yehei klal zeh chakuk b'libcha, and if you're careful, ingrain these laws in your heart. B'chol inyanei hilchos moed ushmaruha, and watch it and guard it, never forget it. So there you got the Meiri telling you.
So he said, if there's food that I know for sure I'm going to want to eat on
Yantiv or Chol HaShamoed,
and if I do it beforehand, it doesn't lose any flavor, it's just as good.
Still allowed to do it.
That's
learned out from Eichel Nefesh. The halacha is on Yantiv, Eichel Nefesh as well. You're allowed to cook anything on Yantiv, even though...
We allow, we don't extend it to all the different malachos.
No.
So how far is he willing to go?
Whatever malacha Chazal have said is permitted. Whatever malacha Chazal have permitted on Chol HaShamoed, I will allow you to do it.
Even Kiveh. Okay.
That's correct. Yes.
What's the position on Snurid Pas? What can you do on Yantiv itself?
It's a machloikis. On a d'oraisa, according to the Rambam, from kotzer and onward is mutter. Anything that handles the food is mutter. Midrabanan, Mrs. Rambam paskin d'halacha. Whatever could be made on Erev Yontiv and not decrease the quality has to be done on Erev Yontiv, midrabanan only.
So this braisa that says if you have nothing else to do, do all these things, Rambam doesn't need that. Anyway, correct?
That's correct. You're right. Probably. Yes. Yes. Now, the Brisa had said the last thing, that if I'm going to allow you to plow the field, for example, not to plow, to harvest the field or thresh, it can't be done with parot, only has to be done biyad. The Yerushalmi, page number 6, comes up with a chidush that the Bavli does not seem to record. I bracketed it for you. Ubilvad shelo yadush bipara, says the Yerushalmi, bimisapek liyachid. If the only person that is hungry is this one guy. Aval b'misapek l'rabim dosh v'afilu b'para. If there are lots of people that are hungry, and you want to provide for them, then you're not only allowed to do so by hand, but you're allowed to do so by animal as well. Might not. Now I'm going to ask you the question, which we'll see what it is. What is the isur of having my animal plow, pull my plow, pull my sickle? What's the isur? Come on, guys. It's a pasuk in the Chumash. We say it every single Shabbos when you make Kiddush. Exactly. Lo ta sekh malacha. Ata, which means every adult. Uvin chobitecha, your minor children. Ve'avdecha, your slave. Uvehem techa, your animals, not allowed to do malacha. It's called mechamer achar behemtai. That if you whistle while you work, and the animal just keeps walking with you, I'm not doing anything, I'm just taking a walk. And my little cow Fluffy is pulling whatever it is. It's asur midoraisa. Asur midoraisa. So you can't say it's 100% mutter for the Yerushalmi. However, the Yerushalmi's opinion is, and it could be that the Bavli agrees as well. I'm going to give you one other illustration. There is an Issa Malach, there is an Issa Do'oraisa of Tchumen, according to Rabbi Akiva. Tchum Shabbos is Asur Midoraisa. Not the 2,000 Amos. That everyone agrees with the Rabbana. But the Tchum of Yud Bet Mil, walking about 12 miles out of the city limits, is Asur Midoraisa, according to Rabbi Akiva. Based on the pasuk in Parshas Bishalach, Al Yetzei Ish Mimikalmau B'Yom Hashvi, he interprets that for Tchumen Midoraisa. So, let me ask you this: does anybody say that there's an isur of skila for anybody who walks out of the Tchum, according to Rabbi Akiva? The answer is no. If I have my animal pulling my plow or my sickle, does anybody say that I get skila? The answer is no. So what the Yerushalmi believes is the following. There are Isurei Shabbos, Midoraisa, that are not called Melacha. We always think in the category that every Doraisa on Shabbos has to be a Melacha. That's what the Torah says, lo tasa kol malacha. But apparently there are activities which are asur midoraisa and you don't get skila. Because if it was a malacha, the pasuk in Parshas Kisisa which says, maus yumas. When you do skila, kol sabay malacha. Maus yumas. You get skila. But you don't get skila for these things. So it's asur midoraisa. Step number two. Question which every parshan asked. This is a perek, gentlemen, that you should know by heart. Chapter 23 of Sefer Vayikra. The parsha of the Moadot. You have to know that parsha by heart. How does the parsha of the Moadot start? Sheshis yamim teosem alacha. Asks Rashi, the Ramban, everybody. Why does the parsha of the Moadot begin with Shabbos? There's enough place talking about Shabbos. So there are lots of answers. The Ramban says, because Shabbos ikre moed. What does the word moed mean? A designated time. So Shabbos is a moed. That's why. Okay, that's the Ramban's answer. Others say, it because it wants to give you the definition of what's asur on yontif. How do I know what malacha means on yontif? Answer, whatever is defined as a malacha for what? For Shabbos is defined as a malacha for yontif. Therefore, what conclusion do you now come to concerning tchumin and what? And mechamer achabehemtai. That they're not asur on yontif. Why? Because they're not a malacha. So if there is a special isur, the special isur applies only on Shabbos, where it says, "Ubayom Hashvi, you know, lo tasa kol malacha." And al yetzei ish min komo, bayom Hashvi. Doesn't say on Yontif. In which case, your point is correct. There is no isur whatsoever under those circumstances, in which case, the Yerushalmi's chiddush is no chiddush at all. So there is no doubt that the Yerushalmi believes that Mechamer is considered something to be prohibited, might be prohibited on Cholosh HaMoed, but L'tzorech HaRabim, we're going to allow that as well. That's what's running through the Yerushalmi. The Bavli that makes no such distinction would say that certainly it's not Asur on Yon, but the Rabbanon prohibit on Cholosh HaMoed. They don't want to use cows because it's too public of a whatever it is. But there's no Isur of Mechamer according to the Bavli, at least based on this Bavli. But the Yerushalmi that finds it necessary to tell us that L'tzorech HaRabim, we're matarid, but for a Yachid, it's Asur, in all probability, is because it holds that Mechamer Achar Behemtoi is Asur, not just on Shabbos, but on Yom Tov as well.
Bobby said, you said the Bobby says, no Isur Malacha, no Isur Mechamer on Yom Tov.
That is correct. That is correct. So does Rabbi Akiva said, ain't Chumin B'Yom Tov. Rabbi Akiva says that in the Bible.
Do I have an animal plow on Yom Tov?
You know, it's not nicest thing in the world to do, but there's no reason.
Because yeah. It's not a malacha, who are you trying to argue?
Because it's not a malacha.
So how do they deal with the pasuk we say every time in Kiddush? It's obviously equating all those things together. It starts with malacha.
Right, that's on Shabbos.
But it's obviously in the category of malacha.
No, it's not.
Lo taseh malacha.
That's correct. But everybody's going to have to say a behem is nishkin. It's not a malach.
When you say
because it's called always says called ha'oseh bo malacha. You in order to be mechal yontif Shabbos, you have to do the malacha.
So I can thresh on yontif for my animals.
If there's no mechamer, the answer is yes.
But not a chol.
That's correct. So I'm sure there's a rabbanon someplace that says you can't do it on yontif either. Sure, but on a theoretically on yontif it's mutter. Theoretically. All right, we'll stop here. So it's not such a simple demand.
It's simple that we're going to have to put Dover up.
Okay, I know. Yes, okay. Continue next to Vach.
So why do we have the definition of the whole part of the mind, I guess, is so much.
Okay, so there is a whole debate. Why do you need, some say, you don't really need, because you were allowed to go out and get the mun. The question is, did the mun fall on Yom Tov? That's the question. If the mun fell, you don't need Lechem Mishnah. If it didn't fall, the question is, why didn't it fall? You don't know.